Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. I am your host, Andrew Hughes at AHughes86, and I'm joined by my co-host who has more followers than WCW's own Lash LaRue, Mr. Aaron at AP Hughes. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. Sting said he's open to wrestle at a WrestleMania if the time is right. So are we going to see him at WrestleMania 29?
I don't know. He would be a big marquee name, but the thing is, he really likes TNA's, small schedule. It's he doesn't have to do a whole lot of dates, no house shows really, and he only has to show up for live events. He's not going to be able to do that in the WWE. So who knows? It might be a one-time thing where they have him just work the quick events. If they do, then maybe WrestleMania 30. It would be my guess.
It'd be nice just to see him actually participate in a WrestleMania. I mean, I'm a big fan of Sting. He's never been in WWE, so it'd be kind of neat if he just kind of, showed up.
Mm-hmm.
So the WWE is panicking. So what happens? They do a draft, and that is scheduled for next week, Aaron. Are you even excited about this draft? I mean, I think we called this before they even announced it.
I'm actually not excited for the draft for this reason. They said that while the draft is going to take place next week, the draft won't go into effect until after the pay-per-view. Well, what's the point in doing the draft then? You're going to know certain people aren't going to win. Like, let's say for whatever reason, John Cena is going to get drafted over to SmackDown. Well, guess what? He's not going to win the title then, He's not, plain and simple. And vice versa, So that's the thing I don't like about having the draft like this. Instead, why not schedule it for after the pay-per-view? That's what I would do. That would make the most sense.
Completely. Yeah, that would make the best sense. And then you don't know who's going where. So them doing this is basically they're just panicking because they don't know what to do. But this is one thing that I thought was really weird. They started confiscating Zack Ryder signs at the live events, the Broski of the Week. I thought this was a great thing that he was doing. He was doing this on, he does the stuff on YouTube. I mean, you can check out his channel. It's hilarious. Just look for Zack Ryder. He puts on probably the best videos ever. I can't believe they're actually taking the signs away because it's just ridiculous. You should not have to take the signs away from him. I think it's a great thing that he's doing. He's made that guy even better.
I agree, and I think that that's really stupid because, look, let's face it, if Cena was tweeting out, look, hold signs up for me at events, at live events, people would do it, and WWE wouldn't take away his signs, and just because it's somebody that's lower on the totem pole, kind of stupid in my opinion. So I think that this is a really dumb idea, and I'm very against it.
Now, in their defense, though, I will say that they said they were taking him away because he wasn't there. Which I can see the point. They said they take signs away if a wrestler's not going to show up. But I've seen stuff before where people have signs up and the guy's not there.
I have too. So I think it's just stupid. They just don't want people to think Zack Ryder is a bigger star than what he is.
I think that he is a bigger star.
Let's go on to Jeff Hardy. So his court date got postponed again. The only reason we even have this on here is just to kind of show, while we understand that he does have a drug problem, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where what's going to happen? What is going to happen in this case?
It's getting ridiculous. I mean, I know this time his lawyer asked for it. I know that. But come on. They need just to go ahead and get this thing locked down, get it over and done with. I mean, crap, Kurt Angle just had the DUI, and he was already sentenced for it. In like, what,
for
2 weeks? For reckless driving.
Yeah.
So and that went through right away. I mean, why can't he just go ahead and get this thing taken care of? I mean, it's getting really annoying that we keep talking about it. I mean, we've talked about it, what, 5 or 6 times now? You'd think by now it would have been taken care of.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've been doing the show now for over a year, and it's one of those things where we've talked about it probably 4 times on the show. So
It's just getting annoying, really annoying. So let's move on to the pay-per-view lockdown. The X Division number one contenders match was probably the match of the night.
I agree. I thought it was a great match. I was very excited for it. I loved what Spanky did in the ring. I actually would have preferred having Spanky win. I think that he would have been a really good opponent for Kaz. Or even Amazing Red. Amazing Red did some really great things in the ring.
I'm always a fan of Amazing Red. He came in. He was really young. He could make anyone look good. He basically was putting everyone over. And then finally, he should be getting a shot. It's getting really annoying. I mean, he's been putting people over since O2. I mean, he should be, he really should be, have the strap. I mean, he's had a couple times, but he needs it now. Mm-hmm. Him versus Kaz would be an awesome match.
I agree. And you know what they should do anyway? They should have like a fatal four-way for the X title. Mm-hmm. Those are the best matches. Mm-hmm. I love the one-on-ones, don't get me wrong, and those are your marquee matches. But for cruiserweights, the X division in particular, you have four-way matches. Those are really great. That's what I would like to see.
Mm-hmm. I completely understand. So anyway, so Sting retains the TNA title after Hogan tries to recruit RVD or Anderson for Immortal. I don't even know how to explain this. I'm just sick of there's too many factions right now, dude. They should have one.
Well, in TNA, I agree. You know, it's one of those things where you do have the two main ones. You have Immortal and you have Fortune. Mm-hmm. But realistically, you have more than just that. Like when you had the NWO, mm-hmm. you had the NWO and then you had WCW. And then, you know, NWO split to Hollywood and Wolfpack. And then they added in the Four Horsemen, and then they had, you know, like Raven's Flock was in there, but they were like their own little thing. Like mm-hmm. they weren't a part of like NWO's feud by any means. They were very separate.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, when they branched off into like these four or five factions, it kind of dumbed it down. It didn't make the factions worthwhile. And so that's one of the things I agree with you on, is having too many factions is kind of dumb. But you know, they were kind of trying to swerve that RVD was going to join, and then that Anderson would join, and then nobody ended up joining. Is this just Hogan trying to stay in the spotlight?
It is. I'm sick of Hogan. I mean, after the whole thing with Edge, and then he tried to play it off like, oh, that's not what I really meant. And I sat there and, you know, I was watching TNA last week, and I was just like, you know what? If he was to stop wrestling, I wouldn't care. I just would not care. He's too old. He doesn't need to be around there, but he needs money for his little 21-year-old that looks like his daughter. Anyway, so Fortune defeats Immortal in a cage match after AJ makes his triumphant return. Where was he, by the way?
Well, he got injured by Bully Ray.
Like, oh, that's right. That's right. Powerbombed
through a table and whatnot. And it was kind of cool. But the thing is, though, AJ was only gone for like 2-3 weeks. So having him return didn't give that big of a pop. If you had him return like a month later, it would have been a much bigger pop. It would have been like, oh, crap, he's finally back. That's what I think they should have done. But maybe they might have a better plan in mind, which case I will concede and I'll say good job. But this match, to be honest, I didn't care for. I don't understand why it was after the title bout. Unless they thought that Anderson and RVD were going to just, you know, come out wasted and then, you know, it was going to be a 30-second match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe. But overall, the pay-per-view, it was okay.
Yeah. We should congratulate someone on this, though. Mickie James is now the first woman to hold actually the Divas title, the women's title, and now the TNA women's title.
The knockout
title. My bad. So we got to congratulate her on that. Anyway, so let's just move on to Raw. Morrison beats R-Truth to take a spot in the three-way, which I thought was kind of weird because they're over in England doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of weird. R-Truth decides to turn heel, but he tweeted out earlier in the day, so I knew what was going to happen on Raw. Thank you, R-Truth. You are a genius. So is the WWE going to start banning Twitters, like when you can use it and stuff?
Well, I think that it was one of those things. He deleted it really quickly, like within 10 minutes. And so it was just really dumb on his part. I'm sure that, you know, he got reamed and he apologized profusely for it. But, you know, if you're taping something, you don't tweet about it right after you tape it, mm-hmm. before it airs. So
Exactly.
Here's what I wanted to talk about with this. So Morrison was in the doghouse, or is in the doghouse, mm-hmm. yet now he is in the main event for Extreme Rules.
It's weird to me, dude. I didn't know what to think, because first of all, if he's such in the doghouse, why would you also turn R-Truth heel, which I actually can pick this apart, but why have John Morrison make his way into a three-way? Well, I can tell you what's going to happen next week on Raw. R-Truth is going to come out and injure John Morrison for somehow to get his spot back. And the one thing that I did not get, and I don't know why TMZ picked this up, but also other people did, R-Truth lit a cigarette up.
Mm-hmm.
What was the point? I don't get that. Like, it's a PG thing. Why are they smoking? You know what I mean? And also, why was it such a big deal that even TMZ picked it up?
I think what the deal was that he turned heel and only bad guys smoke. And they were talking about earlier his conditioning and how he had to have a drink of water in between matches. And so they made fun of him about that, saying his conditioning wasn't good. So that's why he had to smoke. But the thing is, and WWE responded to this, and I agree. I'm actually in favor of WWE in this case. He had a cigarette because he was a bad guy. You know, look at Stone Cold. He drank beers because he was cool. You know, so smoking makes you a bad guy. Roll with that. Roll with that. Especially in this era, if it's PG product, this guy who is a heel who just beat up a good guy is having a cigarette. That's a bad thing. Plain and simple.
Oh well, and then anyways, let's get off the topic because I can go all day with this one and picking it apart. But we got to talk about Evan Bourne number two comes out to face Evan Bourne number one. I'm sorry, but Dolph, his new look, he looks exactly like Evan Bourne or Matt Matt Sydal, whatever you want to call him. He looks like Evan Bourne.
He does. I didn't know who it was at first, and I was like, wait. That's Dolph. That is Dolph. That's what you're doing with him. I mean, at least let him keep the long hair, like that slick back look, because he looked like a shyster, And so that's what you want to keep. I don't mind changing, because you change so that way you can freshen up the character. I totally understand that. So that's okay. But at least keep the long locks. See if that works out. If it doesn't, then you can cut it. Once you cut it, you can't just, grow back in a day.
Yeah.
He's going to have to grow it back over time. That would be my move.
I mean, they should have a stable of just two Evan Bournes. I mean, and I got to give Evan Bourne credit. I started watching a couple of his other matches. I didn't realize how much of his ring psychology comes into play. Like when a finishing move gets hit, he actually gets his entire body to go limp, which I think is kind of cool. And he made Dolph look really good. And I got to give him credit on that. And I just feel bad that they look way too much alike. So anyway, yeah. So Cena and Sin Cara, of all people, team up to face The Miz and Riley. I don't know what to say about this dude.
Well, do you think, after watching this match, is Sin Cara a bust?
In my mind, no. But I think to the WWE crowd, yes. But the thing is, he's not wrestling. He has to wrestle certain guys first. When the draft happens, he has to go to SmackDown, not Raw. He has to go to SmackDown. He needs to be with those guys. And I think Evan Bourne, when he goes to SmackDown, which I can guarantee he's going there, you're going to start seeing better wrestling on SmackDown. By the way, the viewership for SmackDown is going up anyways. But I think the whole thing with him being on Raw is stupid. I think you just introduce him on Raw, have him have a couple matches against nobodies, and that's it. That's what should be done.
I actually am going to say that starting off, I think he is a bust. And I think that they really shouldn't have debuted him yet. I think he should have had more dark matches, in my opinion, so that way he could really get used to the style of WWE. And while I do think that he is an amazing athlete and an amazing wrestler, he has to dumb down his style. I hate to say it. I really do. If he was in TNA, it'd be different. It'd be really different. He'd be able to wrestle his way. But in WWE, the moves that he was doing, and some of them he botched himself, his finishing move that he did to Alex Riley, that Alex Riley sold like a champ.
Yes, he did.
that was so great. It was on the most recent Botchamania, in fact.
I haven't watched the new one yet. You ruined it. I haven't watched the new Botchamania yet.
But they show him messing it, messing up the move. So I think that he will be good. I think that he will be good, but I think that they brought him up too early. I really do.
Now, speaking of Botchamania, did they have his first match with Primo? Did they have that botch spot in there in the new Botchamania?
Not in the one before they did.
Oh, they did? Okay. I haven't watched the last two, so Botchamania. Well,
he is going to be one of the best in Botchamania. They're going to have it'll be Sin Botchamania, Cinemania or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, check out YouTube to find those out. Anyway, so this is news to me. Orton and Bunker still feuding. They are in the main event, which I thought was kind of weird, but they actually put on a decent match.
I think that they are ruining Punk, in my opinion. Orton has completely, he's decimated Punk. Punk is getting nothing on Orton at all, and it's making Punk look weak.
Mm-hmm.
So if next week Punk doesn't get some retribution, you ruined his character.
Oh, yeah. I think he should punt Orton. Take Orton off for a couple of weeks. And then just
at the pay-per-view. Dude,
oh, yeah. He should
give Orton a couple weeks off. You know, that'd be what I would do.
Mm-hmm, definitely, definitely. So let's move on to SmackDown. Well, titles always change hands when they go over to England, and apparently Big Show and Kane are your new tag champs. Wow.
Is this going to bring legitimacy to the titles?
No. No, this is ridiculous. This should not happen. This should have never happened. I mean, I know they're trying to break up the core. I mean, at least that's what I think. But come on. What's the point of having tag champs? You're supposed to have tag teams. Bring tag teams in. Wherever they happen to the Usos, the Hearts.
Oh, didn't you know? They wanted to break them up. Both of them. You know? You know, the thing is, too, on SmackDown, you could have your tag teams over there and just have the tag team wrestling over on SmackDown and try that out for a while. You know, have tag matches, real tag matches. And you can have variations of tag matches. There's tornado tag team wrestling, all right? You could do stuff like that.
You could have six tag teams over there, six real tag teams, and then a couple made up ones. That's fine. But you could have tag matches. Honestly, dude, I wish that we could just run it SmackDown for 1 month. That's all I ask. 1 month, and we put whoever we want on there, bring up guys from FCW, and we can make that a Lucha Libre and a tag brand. And that, and you could have that as that brand. So SmackDown is now tag teams and Lucha Wrestling. You could have that.
And it would be different than Raw. And
it would be completely different.
You would be able to differentiate the product, because as it is right now, they're completely the same product.
Yeah, exactly. It's getting really, really annoying. So the core, they're going to break up.
Yeah, they're teasing it. They're probably teasing it to the point they're not going to break up, but it's looking like they will. Who's going to benefit from them breaking up?
No one. Justin Gabriel, I think, is going to be the breakout guy. I still think Justin Gabriel is the guy. I think the other three, nothing against Wade Barrett. I mean, he's decent. But I think Justin Gabriel, something about him, he's going to do something for himself. He has the look and the ring ability, so.
I agree, although I do want to, I do think that Wade Barrett will be a main eventer. I really do. I think that he has it. Heath Slater, on the other hand, doesn't have it. He can wrestle, don't get me wrong. But he doesn't. He just doesn't have it. He really doesn't. And Ezekiel Jackson, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're a big guy. That's awesome. You will be a bodyguard for somebody for the rest of your life. You're going to be in that role.
Yes, he should be in that role. In fact, I'd like to see him as the Miz's bodyguard.
Oh, that wouldn't be bad.
Because he's bigger than him. And he could be like a Virgil.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, so Albert Del Rio versus Christian. I'm not sure what I think about this still, because I'm still disappointed about Edge. I keep thinking about Edge the entire time.
Are you hyped for the match, though?
Not really. I am because you know there's going to be a new champion. I would love to see Christian win it, but I know that Del Rio is going to win it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's possible. I am a little hyped for this, even though we've seen it like three times now. I am a little excited for it. So I'm actually looking forward to Extreme Rules more so than I am Lockdown. You know, more so than I was to Lockdown. I think that Extreme Rules will be a good pay-per-view. So.
Oh, yeah. I am looking forward to it. And you know what? The other thing I'm looking forward to? When we switch everything, finally switch every single thing over to HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster not happy with your web host? Check out HostGator.com, where you're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, bandwidth, and one-click script installs, and a free site builder with the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 25% off your web hosting package. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Total nonstop action! Hogan is on a mission to find out who's running the network. Now, is he talking about the band The Network, or is he talking about TNA's The Network?
TNA's The Network.
I had to throw a Green Day reference in there. Sorry.
I you know what? He could probably, Spike TV. I mean, they're a conglomerate. What are they owned by? NBC, Universal, you know? I'm sure they could probably, like, find out who's running the network.
Yeah. I mean, if they got a homie in up there in Comcast land or NBC land, they could probably hint towards it.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, what do you think of this? Because they're running this, you know, WWE's Raw is running the anonymous GM. Do you like these angles?
Yeah, it's getting boring. I mean, the anonymous GM is going to end up being probably Edge now. just the simple fact that he wants to be around, still get a paycheck. You know, that's what it's going to end up being, and it's going to suck. Because there's so, like, it's very heelish, but it's also not very heelish. It's a kind of a tweener anymore now, but he also likes Michael Cole, and who doesn't like the, you know, yeah.
So. Oh, I need to point out a mistake. It's Viacom who owns Spike TV.
Yeah, so I was trying to figure out, I'm like, it's not NBC, but that's fine. Viacom owns it. But anyways, so, I mean, I guess Hogan's never going to find out, or I guess we will at some point because they're going to have to announce it.
Well, you know who it's going to be. It's going to end up being Dixie Carter. It's going to be who we all think it is. So I don't really care about this. However, though, a couple of the matches that happened later, we had Abyss defeated RVD after Hogan interfered. Now, during the match, Abyss had a couple teeth knocked out.
Yes, just like the mighty Duncan Keith from the Chicago Blackhawks. He did lose some teeth during the match, and he continued. Got to give him credit because I was told what the pain is like, and thank you, Abyss, for continuing, because there's no way I could have done that.
No way. No way. Yeah, it was a pretty good match. You know, I think those two actually had decent chemistry. Mm-hmm. It was nice for Abyss to get some heat back after losing them at the pay-per-view a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So now, something that happened later on in the show, we had Morgan and Scott Steiner. Morgan comes out and says that he's the number one contender for the World Heavyweight title for whatever reason, you know, because apparently he beat Hernandez, you know, so he's the number one contender now. And Steiner comes out and says, no, he is. So it's like, wait, hold on. Both of you guys are saying that you are the number one contenders, yet you've done nothing. I mean, they really haven't done anything. So mm-hmm. why are they the number one contenders? And so Steiner, he goes and he hits Morgan, says that he's going to fight him for the title and whatnot. So my question to you, first of all, this segment was stupid. But secondly, should Morgan be a main eventer?
Oh, yes, I agree. I think Matt Morgan should be. He has the look. He can work in the ring now, which is great for him. He wasn't that very good when he's in WWE, but now that he's in TNA, he's actually improved, I think, his ring skills. So I got to give him credit. I actually never liked Matt Morgan, but he has improved. So I got to give him credit on that. Hands down. So, I mean, the other thing also, you know, with Ken Anderson, he doesn't want to be kept out of the main picture just yet. And I like the fact that he's in the main event still. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like the fact that he's there, but in a way, it's like, I don't want him to be there. I think he should be doing something else for the time being. But with all these, I don't know, with all these factions out there, and he's not a part of any of them, and he's the a-hole. So, which, you know, we kind of need almost if he had his own faction, if that makes sense. Like his
well,
own
I'm
followers.
Actually glad that that Anderson is going to be kept in this picture. They're going to find some way to take him out of it. But when you have all these people vying for the championship, it makes the championship that much bigger. You know, we've said it before about the Intercontinental title when we had like four people going after it. I think that this is a perfect opportunity with the TNA title by having some of your bigger name stars, Sting, RVD, Anderson, Morgan, Steiner, even though I'm not a big fan of Steiner, and, you know, maybe throw another one in there. That's perfect. You have them go for the title and it makes it more legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think it's a good idea.
Now, are you like, here's, this is going to sound really weird, but I'm not digging TNA like I used to. Like, I think TNA's actually been going downhill more and more. And I think that they just bring back the six-sided ring. I think if they do a couple other things, I think they're right back there. But for some reason, every time I watch the show, it's just like, I got to watch TNA.
I don't mind it. I think that there are some stuff I really dig about it that I dug about WCW, and people are going to make that comparison, even though it is a very different product.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I always liked about WCW was you had these tiers of wrestling, and people tended to stay in their tiers. So you normally didn't see the Lucha Libres wrestling with like the NWO people. And I kind of like that because they had their own little thing there, their own little group. It was almost like people on Raw, like only wrestling people on Raw. And then you had people on SmackDown, only wrestling people on SmackDown. It was kind of like that within WCW, but you had like four or five tiers.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I dug that. And you would have some people climb up those tiers, which is kind of cool. But not too many. But I kind of like that. And I think that's the way it is right now within TNA because you have your tag team, which is really only tag team. And for the most part, Immortal's staying out of it. And I kind of like that. But anyway, I don't want to go too deep into it. You know, we've still got our weekly topic to talk about.
And we want to first of all thank Pro Wrestling Illustrated for sending us a couple copies of the 2001 Wrestling Almanac and Book of Facts. It is
the 2001?
The 2011 is what I meant. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. It's the 2011. If you want to check out their website, it's pwi-online.com. So the one thing that we love about getting these books, I mean, first of all, they're awesome. And like, even if we didn't pay for them, I'd still pay for it one way or the other because I think they're that good. I really love reading these books. It's a good read. It goes through like every pay-per-view they had, the history of the titles, even some titles that are no longer around. And also, they also have the 10 biggest news stories of 2010. I mean, the one thing I will say, I think they got this right this year. Last year, I had some things that I could probably pick apart, but I think this one's pretty good. What do you think, Aaron?
I think that it pretty much sums up the 10 biggest ones. If you have it, I don't know if it's in a certain order or not, but the biggest one was it was a turbulent year for TNA. They kind of talk about what happened in TNA in 2010. Number two is the rise of the Nexus. Talk about what happened with the NXT Season 1 people and how they just, you know, kind of exploded. I mean, they really became a big part of WWE, which I think is, you know, looking back on it, was great. Number three was Undertaker retiring HBK. Mm-hmm. Now, this, of course, is a huge story.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, HBK, of course, was in the, you know, was in the Hall of Fame this year. But the other one was number four was Miz and Sheamus are main eventers, which I thought, yeah, that's a big deal. That is a big, big deal. And then, of course, Wrestling Business Takes a Tumble was number five, which, you know, I see, but I think there's more to that. But number six was Bret Hart returns to the WWE, which was a huge deal. I think that should have been a little bit higher. And, of course, that match, as you recall, was boring. How many chair shots does he need to do? So the WWE shakes up their programming. They actually go to Sci-Fi, which was a big deal because they were at the, you know, the CW, the WB. Was it the WB first and the CW? Or
it was UPN. And then I think it would have been WB and then CW and then My Network TV and then Sci-Fi. And who knows where they're going next. Now, number eight, Linda McMahon, she lost her Senate bid. Which is big news. I mean, because of how much money they sunk into that.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, you know what? That to me actually should have been a higher one. Even though it's not necessarily about wrestling, in a way it is. Number nine, they arrived. And I love the picture that they show because it says they're here. And what's funny is whoever made that sign, they spelled they're wrong. As opposed to they are here, it says they're, T-H-E-R. Here, H-E-R-E. They're here. And then number 10 was they talked about the deaths that happened the past year, the 2010 deaths. And there were some, you know, it's kind of sad, but you kind of forget about some of the people. You're like, oh, crap, they died. Like Vachon, you know, like Luna Vachon. I forgot that she died. Mm-hmm. But she did. And so did Lance Cade, which was another one that I forgot about. I remember Canyon, of course.
Yeah, I remember Canyon.
The other two I forgot.
And the nice part about this book is also they talk about like anything that big that happened, like the next chapter goes into the 2010, the year in wrestling. They talk about anything that happened on that date, and they go in pretty detail of a lot of stuff that happens. I mean, I got to give PWI some credit. I mean, when they do these books, they're pretty high. They're quality. I mean, they're really good. So you can sit there. It's a good read. I mean, you could sit down and read it for a couple hours. Actually, you could probably read it faster than that. But, you know, you sit down 5-10 minutes. It's great. Definitely great. They also show the 2010 PWI top 500. AJ Styles is number one. CM Punk is number three. And Batista is number six. That's a little high.
And I was surprised about that. That one, looking at the like top 10, you know, there a lot of them make sense. You know, AJ Styles, yeah, he's amazing. John Cena, Punk, Orton, Jericho, Batista? Batista was only there for four months, wasn't he? I mean, he left after Extreme Rules. So how is he higher than, like, Sheamus, who was there the whole time?
I know. And then how come Zack Ryder was only at 117? He should have been in the top 50 at least.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You know, or Mark Henry's number 99. He should have been number two.
Good old Mark Henry.
And I'm sure that there's, you know, I mean, you can complain about, you know, I'm sure you have a list of your own at home. But that was the one that really stuck out to me was Batista, like a sore thumb. You do have a lot of Japanese wrestlers in here, which I really like, because that way people look at that and they go, oh, who's number seven? It's Shinsuke Nakamura, you know, and they don't know who that is. And then they might see him and be like, oh, wow, he's actually really good. So I like that. But the other thing that they do too, like as you mentioned before, they have the title histories, which is pretty nice. And they do have like stats for wrestlers. And then they have their own achievement list. I like these books. I agree with you. The only thing I would say, some of it I don't need, I would say, and this is in all due respect to them. I don't need to have the pay-per-view results from all the way back to 1988. That'd be the one thing I really could do without. But I really do like having some of the other stuff in there. I love reading the articles that they put out in this thing. I like seeing the title history too. The title history I think is really great, really great addition to this book. And there's a lot of other great stuff in here too. So in my opinion, with what I've said, even with the negatives, I like these. I enjoy picking these up, and I actually wish I had all this is what the 16th. I wish I had all 16 editions. Unfortunately, I have like five of them, but I would recommend picking this up, the 2011 Wrestling Almanac and Book of Facts.
And the nice part also is that if you want to find, like if there's a wrestling organization around your area, they do have a guide to pro wrestling, and it shows all of them in there, which is really nice. I mean, there's even one that's really close to where I live. It's but they did not list it. Oh my gosh, they just looked for it. Dreamwave. They did not have Dreamwave. I was actually disappointed in that. But they have all the other major ones. You know, and the nice part is, so if you want to see, you know, wrestling in your area, you can check and see if it's close to your town. They have all their websites if they're available as well. And yeah, it's definitely a great read, great to have around. My only beef, and this is something that happens every year, I wish there's more articles, like stuff that happened throughout the year. That's my only thing. But
I agree. I actually wish that they had the top 10 stories. I wish it was more like top 20.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I would rather see in there. You know, because they do have the stats on the wrestlers, which is pretty cool. I actually would almost say take that part out, add more stats in there, or add more articles in there. Yep. Take out the stats.
Also, if you want to subscribe to the PWI, it's really nice. It costs $30. You get 6 issues. They're really, really good. And, of course, then you can get the PWI 2011 Wrestling Almanac every year as well, which is really nice. So check them out. Definitely PWI-online.com. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're new to the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank Section 86 and 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank my co-hosts for coming on each and every week. And I want to thank the listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.